Hey, everybody. Welcome to the American Dream Revival podcast. My name is Doug. This is my wife, Haley. Welcome. We're husband, wife, homeschooling, entrepreneur, business partners of 10 years with four little kids.
They're going to say 10 kids.
No, I was not. I'm not there yet, man. I'm definitely not there. But welcome. On this podcast, we're basically talking to you about a lot of different things, but really, you know, being able to work on your family culture, how to be able to generate your own wealth and basically build a life of independence for yourself. That typical or old school American dream, I should say, typically nowadays, the American dream, kind of people think differently about it. But anyways, today's podcast, I am super pumped to be able to talk about because it's almost like an updated version of one of our most popular podcasts before we rebranded. You know, it's one of our most popular podcasts that we have to do about making money basically in the way that you want and in the way that best suits you. It's almost like a mini training. So be ready for that. But before we jump into it, we have a couple of announcements. The first thing is that you guys should definitely go through and check out our free mini course on how to build an integrated life. If you don't know what an integrated life is, go watch the previous episode that's on there. We go all into detail about what an integrated life is and why you need it. But we have a free training in the description below you can check out, and it's in the show notes somewhere. And while you're out there in podcast land checking out the show notes, leave us a review, like the podcast, do whatever you can, subscribe to the YouTube channel. I am done with my spiel. We're ready to jump into it. As you can tell, we're pumped. We're ready.
Yes, we're so excited because it's talking about business, which is what we live, eat, breathe for the last, I don't know, nearly decade of being business owners.
And yeah, so, I almost named my last kid's middle name Conversion Ring. I'm just kidding.
That is getting, like pulling an Elon Musk there. But anyways, today we are going to be doing a podcast about our thoughts and what we would tell someone. It's almost as if we were coaching some random person. Let's call them Peter.
Yeah, insert your name.
Yeah, we're coaching Peter out there. Some random name. I don't know, some random person. Right. If Peter came to us and said, Haley, Doug, I want to make $1 million in 12 months. What do I got to do? Mm-hmm. I don't want to like burn my family to the ground. You know, I don't want to have to spend a lot of money, thousands of dollars necessarily. I don't want to have to
convert my garage to a warehouse.
Give my left leg away. Mm-hmm. Like I want to legit make this happen specifically with digital products. So that's online courses, coaching programs, that of the like. How would I do it? And so we're going to tell Peter or you guys out there how we would do that because we've made that in our business before and we have made so many mistakes along the way. Too many mistakes.
Yeah. It's been a absolute journey to be able to get to this point, right? To be able to build a seven-figure business. And so I think the last time we did this, it was like a zero to six figures.
Yes.
In the same amount of time, the mistakes we've made have doubled, but our income has obviously gone up more than that. So it's a positive ROI, right?
Yes.
Like, so no, it's definitely a learning experience that we've had and going through all of our mistakes, but we have a lot of lessons to be able to share with you guys. And hopefully this comes off as like a pseudo type of coaching that's there. Now, I'm not going to sit here and act like we have all of the answers. Again, like Haley said, this is how we would do it. We also believe that there's no one right way for everybody, right? Yeah. There is not one specific answer, but at the same time, we think that there is a best way, like in our opinion, for the type of person and life that kind of meshes with who we are. And if you can't tell, we got family, you know, our kids are our number one thing that we strive for. We homeschool. I don't own a Lambo yet, so I don't have anything to pose in front of
a Lambo,
that's there. You know, no, I don't want a Lambo, but our values and the way that we want to live life and the way that we want to build our business is for a specific type of person. So again, if that's you, might as well pitch it out there, hit that subscribe button again, and let's jump into the training. So Haley, if I were Peter and I came to you and said, Haley, my name is Peter. And I want to make seven figures this year. Okay. It's 2024, new year, new me, new income, new way of life, new everything. What is the first thing that I need to do to be able to do this?
Okay. So
what kind of equipment do I buy?
Oh gosh. That's always the first question. Yeah. What do I need? Which website platform?
Yeah.
Okay. So
this is my domain name. Where do I buy my domain name?
Yeah. How do I connect them?
Oh God. Okay. Sorry, man. We just
deal with a lot.
Yeah. We just bash like 90 people just now.
That was me. Like seriously, that's still me. I'm like, I don't know how this works. Okay. So, well, first off, before I answer Peter, since we stuck with that name, I just honestly saw a Peter Rabbit thing like, in our house.
God, I'm just like, why Peter? Dude?
Okay, so before I answer Peter, I just want to say that I'm going to answer Peter as if like he was right there, but also as if I just was super blunt. So I don't actually coach in this way. I just want to throw that out there. Okay. So what do you do? Where do you start? I have my really old school notebook here. Okay. The first thing I'd probably think to myself is like, how strong is Peter's mindset? Like, honestly,
like, how bad do you want it, Peter?
No.
Oh, not even
it's
that.
It's not far. About how bad you want $1 million. Uh-huh. It's more of like, can you, and we talked about this in our last episode, but like, can you manage your emotional, how well can Peter or a woman out there manage their emotional state, which I'm the first person to say, like, that is the number one thing.
So you're asking Peter, hypothetically, how well are you going to handle failure?
Yeah.
How well are you going to handle long hours and hard nights and doing those kinds of things?
I'm
going to
take notes because I have a lot to say.
how well are you, like, is your mind forged? Like, are you ready to make this assault? Is that what you're asking him?
Mm-hmm. And the reason why I bring up like emotional state, like managing your mental state and managing your emotions as a human being, is the difference between someone that makes no money with their business and honestly any money. But the better we find we manage our emotions and say, whoa, slow down, like, is this actually something we need to change everything because of, you know, this one instance, or is this actually something that is a big concern that we need to lean into our anxiety? You never need to, but I don't know, sometimes it feels more warranted. Or is this something that we're just, you know, and this is a whole other subject that we talk about in our like free course, but is this based off of a lie or is it rooted in reality, you know, based off of a past experience? And the reason why we talk about this right away is because all of the stuff that we coach people on, especially for what we're talking about, zero to however much money you want to make, we threw the seven figures on there because it's really a different strategy, we feel like, to hit that number than what we were hitting, you know, with six figures. It's not like how hard something is, because we're not rocket scientists. We're not, like I mentioned last episode, I am not necessarily good at math at all. Doug's teaching the kids math, honestly, because I didn't even memorize like basic math facts. I have like so many gaps in my education, and all of the other things that I'm not good at.
What about throwing a math question on their butt?
Don't. I'll answer and I won't know. Like, honestly, I'll have to use my fingers. But yeah, it's not that anything that we teach is hard, but it can be mentally hard if you are, dare I say, soft.
Yeah. It's going to be tough. Like that. So that's one of the first things that we would do, right? Let's reel this back real quick. And Peter's like, hey, what should I be doing? And we may or may not openly ask this, and you know, depending upon who the person is, but we're going to look at them and we're going to wonder, like, have they mentally prepared for what it may take to be able to do this, right? So that's the first thing.
So anyways, the first question I have written down here is, what life do you want?
Okay. So before we ask them what life that they want, we need to check real quick, make sure they're mentally ready and equipped. And if they're not, maybe train them up a little bit on that.
Yeah.
And then say, okay, now that we're ready and you can expand, because this question doesn't mean anything, right? This question of what lifestyle do you want?
You're like,
doesn't mean anything if you mentally cannot imagine yourself doing things outside of what you're already doing.
Yes.
Now that sounds like a bunch of mumbo jumbo woo woo stuff, right?
Yeah, no.
And that's not who we are. So what it really like literally translates to is that if your mind is not mentally equipped to think about doing the hard things or to be willing to do the hard things and to manage your emotions, you can't even comprehend what life may be like if you are successful, which then it makes it way harder for you to go out and do that thing that you want to do. If you want to hit 20K a month, but you can't even fathom what 20K a month would do for you, or you can't even fathom what that even means, and you don't think it's ever possible, but you put that number out there because that number sounds nice, that's not mentally being prepared and being able to visualize that life.
So what we do, and we do this in our, like all of our stuff, actually, free courses, whatever, I'm sure you guys have done it if you've taken anything from us, is we have people write down exactly what they want their life to look like. Because if you just put out an arbitrary number, like I want to make 20K, you're not even going to know, like Doug says, like how that looks and if it's even worth it when your mind, when the going gets tough in your own mind, not because it's actually hard to post on social media. It's your own self, your identity, how you view yourself. Are you worthy? Are you an imposter? It's all those things that mess you up. The resistance that we talk about, right?
The immediate follow-up to the answer of income, if Peter says he wants to make 20K a month, the immediate answer or the immediate reply to me is why?
Yeah.
Right. Why do you want $20,000? Oh, it'd be nice. No. It's like, oh, I want a Lambo.
Yeah, I mean, this is, we're already getting like way too mindset, but it is like 99% mindset.
Yeah, it's not even just that it's mindset, but it's like if you can literally attribute.
Well, not 90.
Yeah, it's a lot. But no, it's a lot. Yeah. But if you can attribute the reasons why you want that $20,000 to something specific, then it fortifies your desire more, right? So $5,000 is going to get me to retire my job. Another five is going to get me to retire my spouse's job. I need $2,500 for my kids' college.
I think the first step, like what makes a person, I know we're going off on a lot of different things from like our zero to seven figures in 12 months.
Trust
which
me,
we'll
this
get
is
going to
be
this
fire.
Is so
like
important.
Yeah.
You're just telling yourself, you're telling that, talking yourself up.
I am pumped. Oh, God. I'm ready. Let's go, Peter. Get on board, Peter. Come on.
Anyways. Okay. So what you really need to think about is why, yes, but like the guru Tony Robbins says, OG up in here, which I love this quote because it's like it's really our life. People are more apt to run away from pain than they are towards pleasure. Nobody cares about getting a yacht. Nobody cares about really making an arbitrary $20,000 extra a month or $20,000 or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's always 20. And like the whole thing, what do people want? For some reason, people think 20.
10 oh, and 10. 20.
Yeah.
Both.
Anyways, so it's not about picking a random number and like, let's try to make it, because it's just not enough when the resistance in your mind, it's going and you feel like a failure. It really is running away from pain. So why don't people run away from more pain? Because they do not. And I always get this freaking thing wrong. I asked Doug earlier, what did I write down? I don't even know. But it's like, you want to raise the tolerance for what you accept. What I said it wrong.
No, you raise your standards.
You raise your standards for the tolerance.
Like I have no, like my I will have zero tolerance
for this life right
this
now.
For this terrible, gross lifestyle that I live.
Yeah,
right.
And okay, then a lot of people, especially religious people like ourselves, will start to think it's greedy to want money, and then we're getting all this down this path. Oh, I'm not worthy of it because it's not good to have it. Well, you got to switch your mindset on that.
Yeah,
you know, that's a whole other episode.
Yeah.
But the reason why we're talking about this in the beginning is because if you just put a random number out for Peter, like, what do you want? I want $20,000 a month because I want to be with my kids more. You know, it really should be like, what do you hate about your life?
Yeah. So for you,
and
Haley,
being okay,
let's go towards you. Like, why did you need that money, that arbitrary number that we put out there, in order for us to be able to both be at home? Like, what's the story
behind
wanting
that? Okay, so like, this
that?
Is how you change that. So what I was saying, actually, I just remembered my own self, my
work.
Own thought
here we
process.
Go.
I know. Here we
welcome
go.
To the American Dream Revival podcast.
Welcome to our marriage. Just kidding. No, right. But basically, like, if you find yourself just picking an arbitrary number, it's not good enough, okay? We listen to people that are more successful, like Tony Robbins, love him or hate him. It's, like, so helpful. Mm-hmm. So you're supposed to focus on the painful things in your life, because the reason why you're not getting more success, myself included, I could be in a better state financially, is because I'm just so comfy. Okay. Comfy, comfy, ordering the Uber Eats boba every week, you know, getting my groceries delivered to me. What else do we do? Freaking like whatever. Swipe. I keep swiping. Terrible. Yeah. But yeah, swiping on Amazon like every day. Oh, I need a new toothbrush today. Like, do you realize how privileged and how like comfortable we live? Like, it's crazy. And so when you live like that, why would you ever want for more? It's
you want
freaking
more
hard
pleasure.
To. You also have to change your whole self, which the human brain doesn't want to change anything about itself, because if you question who you are, like, it takes you out of the herd, and it's this whole thing. Okay, you want to stay alive in the herd.
You want to stay.
It's a biological thing. And so if you need to maybe focus on the pain, but your life is so comfortable, you need to. The second step to that, to really getting success, is to be disgusted with the position that you're in your life. And so how do you get disgusted if you're so comfortable swiping on Amazon? Oh, I need toilet paper. It'll be delivered in an hour. You know, it is nice. Exposing yourself. It's two things. Okay. The first thing is, you're the average of the five closest people to you. So change them. If everybody is just swiping all day long, 8 hours a day on Instagram and not doing anything for their lives, swap that person out. You love your aunt, Pam. It's always that person.
Peter and Pam, bro.
Yeah. You love her, okay? But you got to swap them out if you want to. You are going to naturally become those people with their habits and the way the group think. Like, you got to swap them out, even if it is for a phase of your life. And so that, even if it's hard. The second thing, and maybe swap it out for who you're looking at online, okay? The second thing is to get around people, specifically because we're talking about wealth here, but this could be applied to like homeschooling. You know, if you want to homeschool, but your whole family public school, they're all public school teachers, like, get out of that group. Spend more time with people that homeschool than you do with those people, you know. But specifically for money, it is, be around people that have affluence. So my whole upbringing, I was always around wealthy people because I live in Southern California. my friend and her two sisters that started here, they had really nice houses, like nearly on the beach in Corona Del Mar, one of the most expensive places in, you know,
I think in the country.
Like, yeah, seriously. Yeah. I mean, the houses are like $20 million. And mm-hmm. so we would like house sit this like beautiful beach house. And I was like, this is like a new thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I'd see their cars. I'd see, not that we have these or that we want these, but the nannies. And she even had a service to water her plants, not a gardener. This is a service to water her plants, and my friend still laughs about it, and replenish her flowers around her house.
What's up?
And so I saw that from like a very young age. Douglas saw the exact opposite. You want to talk about that?
Really, what I grew up around was absolute pain, right? I'm not being serious, like with my parents. Like my upbringing was great. My parents worked really hard to be able to do it. But we did not come from a well-off family.
I mean, I didn't either. None of my just friends. Because I had friends. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. My family was extreme middle class.
I had nobody to surround me that was affluent around me, mm-hmm. right? It was a lot of gang-related stuff that was around.
You can say gang-related.
A
lot related, of
stuff that was around. I don't know what's going to get caught me
Doug
flagged
wasn't
up on
in
this.
A gang,
I was but... not. No. But the place that I grew up in was more of like a I don't want to live here anymore kind of situation.
Get me out
of this situation. I don't want my kids to be around this situation, right? I needed to be able to, you know, my tolerance for all the stuff I was going through was already topped. Like I was done. I was like, I got no more tolerance for this. This is not what I want to do anymore. My life needs to be absolutely different. And so I didn't get to aspire towards seeing the cool stuff that was there. It was more like, get away from all this stuff that was going on here.
Get me a regular safe job.
Get me a regular safe job in a regular safe place mm-hmm. in a regular safe
and
town.
And that's a step up. Were you yes, the first absolutely. Person in your family to graduate college? Your immediate family, I guess.
Yeah, my immediate family. Yeah. Yeah, I was. Yeah, my dad, he got like an associate's degree and something happened and some other stuff. But yeah, I the moment I turned 18, I moved. I got out. Peace. Like, yeah. No, and shout out to all my friends and homies that are back there.
It's like a joke. I can't.
It's
with
not
you.
A joke. I do still have friends that are there, but it's a real thing though. It's like me and one of my buddies, when we left to college, we were like, well, I don't want to go back there.
Yeah.
And that was just the way it was. The way I was trying to lead Haley here, like she didn't pick up on the hint here was.
I never do.
The reason why, you know, one of the pain points that was here was you being in daycare and then not wanting to put your child in daycare. Right.
Okay, so, but like, so, you know, if I was just speaking to Peter, you know,
for sure,
the person
Peter.
You know, like wants to make a lot of money, but like lives on a comfortable, swipey life.
For sure.
Like you have to totally.
You need to figure out what the pain is.
When you expose yourself to, I mean, yes, there's mm-hmm. so many facets mm-hmm. to this mental mess. But like when you expose yourself to a new way of living mm-hmm. and, you know, let's not talk about greed right now because a whole other topic.
Yeah.
You're going to start to look at your own self and be like, what am I doing?
Well, let's do this instead.
But also, you do have pain in your own life.
Okay, let's say Peter
but
has
sometimes,
pain.
Sometimes most people don't have that pain, though.
Yeah.
I would actually say,
so here's the thing. Is
they
that,
have, they come from messed up homes, but they're still not
That's because
doing
they're
anything.
Hiding the pain. We're getting way too deep over here. They're masking pain and everything. Yeah. Okay, anyways.
Swiping.
Let's just say that Peter identifies pain.
Okay.
Peter
that's
identifies
Peter has,
that he has a pain. And it's like we talk to it. This is literally what we do with our students. I actually just did a call with a new student that we onboarded, her and her husband. And we went through an entire call talking about their pain points and why they want to do this and to do this plan. We went through this plan with them. And so, yeah, let's say Peter has a pain point. He, you know, has family that he has to be able to take care of, like older family. His parents are much older, but then also at the same time, he has kids that he doesn't want in public school because the public school is not what he wants them to be mm-hmm. in for whatever reason, right?
Yeah.
So if Peter has this pain point, he can now attach those specific pains and specific numbers to his income goal.
Yes.
Which then makes it more real.
Yeah.
Okay, I need $3,000 a month for my child's private school. Mm-hmm. So that's why I'm here. And that, and when the mental roadblock hits, remember that my kid can't be out there, you know,
going
through metal detectors or whatever. And getting bullied and whatever. I got to homeschool them.
Yeah.
Whatever that may be.
Yes. And obviously there is 100%, like, I think we're both very valid in how we would coach mm-hmm. this person. Mm-hmm. It just, like from my experience coaching, like over 1,000 people, I think most people, they say they have a lot of pain in their upbringing. And they say they want to change their life. But when the resistance hits, they're still just like, I can't do it. You know, like, it just is what it is. I'm not cut out.
And so, it happens to us too.
Oh, like it still 100%.
Happens. So, I mean, like, I'll give a real example here. I had the absolute pleasure of being able to race a race car. And so, like, I want to be an amateur race car driver, and that's what I want to do.
Legit,
and
though.
And so, like, legit, actually, like, my hat, oh, I was wearing it on the other podcast.
Yeah,
I
forgot
where it was. Yeah, it's a use hat cat for, like, dirt track racing. And it costs a lot of money to dirt track race. And I had the pleasure of being able to go out and do my rookie race, and it was a blast, and it was so much fun. I was like, Haley, I'm going to work so hard because I had the pleasure, the feeling of pleasure of going out and
How
racing.
How many times can you say pleasure?
Right, and being able to do that, and without being flagged for something. And so... That, though, was not, it ended up, it is a motivating factor, but it's not as high of a motivating factor as it is
for,
you know, as it would be if it were a pain, right? Mm-hmm. So if there was another pain that was out there, so instead of me like going back on my goals and looking at this and being like, oh, I need to work really hard so I can, you know, go get to do that pleasurable thing again. No, it's instead, it's like, no, I need to do this so that way I can take care of my, like my in-laws, or I can take care of my parents, or I can make sure that I'm getting my family taken care of, because there's that pain that's associated. 911 things that are happening. So like, it even happens with me. I think me wanting to be a race car driver is enough to motivate me to do everything, but it's not. That's not my crutch that I keep falling back on. The thing that I keep falling back on is keeping my family safe and taken care of.
Yeah. But anyway, so that's like, that's a whole thing. But it's so important to talk about, because you should have that in the back of your mind. And we've learned this through intense bouts of anxiety and just like big emotional swings, like because of our business. And so people don't know that. That's a step one, is knowing that it's coming. It's a resistance and you have to tweak the things that we talked about. Okay. So the first thing we already talked about is, what life do you want? Like, what are your number one values of life? Because another thing that I obviously really like, Tony Robbins, if you want to read a book that'll change your life, it's, what is it? Awaken the Giant Within. Yeah, Awaken the Giant Within. And it's life-changing, really, for me. Like, read it multiple times. And so something else he talks about is, if you have a goal and it doesn't align with your values, you're just going to find ways to self-sabotage. This is like my life. I don't want to say my life's motto, because then it really will be. It's something that I fight all the time, Doug as well, like everybody. And so if you're like, I really want to have a 7-figure business, I'll do whatever it takes. But it means that I am not going to be a present mom. Okay. Yeah. Or for Doug, it means that, I don't know, different things that he struggles with, you know, then you're just going to find reasons as to why, self-fulfilling prophecy as to why it's not going to work out. And so you have to make sure that you know your values. And so you have to be very specific. This is what I didn't know, because this has always been my struggle. And so I was like, I want to be a present mom, right? But what does that literally mean? Like, how many hours am I willing to work? So for me, working one day a week, like if that, I homeschool, like I really cannot be emotionally involved in the business so much. I have to take myself away, hence the taking away of the phone from me and the screen of, I do not have access to that, because I have to remove myself. So it puts a constraint. You have to put constraints around your values.
So step back real quick. So the what you're saying is basically is that if Peter comes to you and Peter says, hey, I want to make $1 million this year.
Yeah.
Okay. But then Peter says that I want to only work one day a week.
Yeah.
But the way that Peter wants to make money would involve, would force him to work 6 days a week.
Then you're never going
to
do it.
Then you're never going to get that work done. Mm-hmm. So you have to find a business model that matches or does whatever you want to do, right? Or it could be like, hey, you know, my business model, or, you know, my value involves me, you know, never wanting to dance on a reel or something like that, right?
Straight
but,
up.
But the way that the way that you want to be able to do things involves you having to dance on a reel, then you're going to find ways to not do it. Mm-hmm. Like, so that's basically what it is. Your values cannot conflict with the methodology in which you make money.
Yeah.
Is basically what you're saying.
Yeah. And so for the sake of this podcast, we'll try to keep it to like digital products. Like, how would you deal with digital products, online courses, coaching? Because there's different ways, you know, people sell ebooks, people sell one-on-one coaching packages, masterminds, they sell online courses,
memberships,
low and high, they have funnels. And so we'll get as granular as we can, because we could be talking for hours.
Yeah. This podcast is already running right now.
Yep. But yeah, so that's because we want to give you guys value. Mm-hmm. And there's just so many things that you're going to face. And so the first thing is like knowing your values. And so like back to what Doug says, as far as like, you know, what are your values? And it totally meshes with what kind of correlates to what kind of business model you choose, because we get so many people asking, especially on Instagram this week. Well, you know, because we did Amazon FBA, mm-hmm. we've done that's how Doug quit his full-time job in marketing or in SEO years ago through Amazon FBA. And then, you know, we've done lots of things, social media mm-hmm. content, affiliate marketing, yep. UGC content, writing yep. for blogs, consulting, yep. obviously courses and all that.
Low ticket products.
And like so you have to look at the people that you're trying to emulate and the income streams they have and see and try to find out, like ask them or just find out, listen to their podcast. Like how many hours do they work? Mm-hmm. Do they have to have a nanny if you don't want that? If you do, it's fine. Like, mm-hmm. you know, and so mm-hmm. you have to figure that out. Does that business model align with your values? Yep. So to speed it up, we chose digital products because I really don't want to work that much, you know, yep. because I want to be with my kids.
Yeah. We don't want to have to put our kids in daycare. We don't want to have to,
I want to work when they're sleeping. Yep. I want to create content when they're sleeping. So that I'm not on a phone all the time. Yep. And a lot of people might be like, well, you know, you use images from your phone to create reels or whatever, but truly those images, actually, no, I'm not gonna lie. The one reel that I did on books, which is like reading classical literature to your kids. That was the one time I've tried. I've only put up a couple reels, like a handful mm-hmm. of like mm-hmm. reels that I've tried on social media. And I happened to go viral with like a second one. Yep. But that one I tried to create content for. And I realized, you know, after that experience, it's not for me because I don't yep. want to have to make everyone sit down. I don't like that, you know. Yeah. I don't like that vibe. And so all the footage is like just footage on my phone. Yep. So we do it sitting at midnight sometimes. Yep. Yep. And we put that together or we send it to our assistant. Mm-hmm. And so we like that because we can get leads that way. And maybe you wouldn't want to do it in the way that we like to do it as of right now. And so we film YouTube videos at night, we film podcasts at night, or we'll hire a nanny, but really we don't prefer the nanny because truly we have four kids with four different emotions. One of them's going to want us. Yep. One of them's going to hurt themselves. Yep. And I don't want to be interrupted. So we do it at night, you know?
Yeah.
And so you absolutely can make seven figures. Now, we're not working till 3 a.m. every day. Mm-hmm. Definitely not. But yeah, we work when they sleep.
Yeah. And it also comes down to like just personal ideas in terms of like, you know, what your ideal life kind of looks like. Right. So if you don't want to be staying up at night all the time, you're going to have to balance that out with doing something else
or hiring help
to be able to do it. Yeah. So one of the most common things that I run into when it comes to figuring out like with students, right, with Peter, for instance, one of the most common questions that I have to run into with people on is, do you want to be more of like an influencer
yeah.
or content creator versus an entrepreneur? Right. So I would even yes. put that as like a subsection in yeah. terms of wherever we are in this list of things that we're doing right now. We're on like piece mm-hmm. number 44, but you have to decide, are you willing to post on social media relentlessly in favor of being able to like not have to actively sell all the time because your following sells itself, mm-hmm. right? The following you get and the products you sell, they're basically, it's selling itself because of your popularity and because of the massive amount of views that you can get. Mm-hmm. That is one path of doing this. And that could be one way that you have your life set up. Or the other way is you'd rather not be so involved on social media and you'd rather be a little bit more behind the scenes, or you'd rather post a little bit less, but be willing to do more in terms of a business sense. Like I'd be willing to do sales calls or set up sales funnels, or I'd be willing to hire a salesperson, or I would rather do more email marketing, right? Rather than trying to be an influencer per se. So that's another way to be able to look at this too, is it's not just like, how much time do I want to work, or like, where do I want my kids? But it's also like, who am I as a person? And how does that represent, you know, the path that I should be taking?
Yeah.
Which I think kind of like barrels into another thing, unless you have more to add to that. Oh, dude, I knew it. That's why you got to ask, guys. That's why you got to ask. You got
to
know.
We'll see who talked the most on this podcast. No. If you guys ever listen to our podcast, I don't know, somehow Doug has a magical wand, which is probably lies. What? But it tells like who talks more on the podcast.
It's the transcription software. It knows
it doesn't,
our
numbers no, it doesn't don't lie. Numbers Let's don't lie. Not talk about that. Try to be better. Okay. I just have so good so far.
What else do you got?
It's
add
my Portuguese
to
nature. Like I don't know.
It is.
Okay, so, dude, this is something that
I'm gonna sit back.
I have learned through lots of tears, you know, lots of struggle, and that is whatever business model you choose determines your life style, your lifestyle. There's a better way I could say that. Okay. The bomb wasn't dropped there, but like, hold on here. Bear with me. Okay. So no, like,
I know
if you choose,
Peter,
this is what I meant to say. Okay. However way you choose to get leads mm-hmm. is where you're going to be spending your time and how you're going to be living your life.
Yes.
If you decide to get leads organically like us, mm-hmm. 80% of the work that you do on your business is going to be through social media marketing. Mm-hmm. You might be like, but I don't want to be an influencer. Mm-hmm. It's such an amazing blessing that we live in this time mm-hmm. to do this. You have, you guys that are saying that have no idea.
Yeah, you don't got to go knock on doors.
What an amazing blessing this is that we get, don't be this way. Yeah. Like, 'cause I used to say that. I used to be like, I'm tired. When I was doing YouTube for full time as a family for 2 years,
yeah,
the second year I was like, seriously, like right before COVID, I was like, I can't do this anymore mm-hmm. for different reasons. We didn't own our income streams like we do with courses. Yeah. And so I was like, I don't want to post anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. Like, fatiguing. But now I have quit and started again. And it's like, okay, it's like you learn a lot by being an idiot and being mm-hmm. ignorant and not knowing and not being grateful. Okay. It's such a blessing to have a following.
Yeah, absolutely. If,
in the way that you want. Okay. So there's that first thing. So on the flip side is if you choose to say, okay, I'm going to get my leads through ads, you're going to be creating ads out the wazoo, as my mom would say, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Forever.
She drops another word in there too, but yeah.
Another curse word. You know, she's very blunt, but yeah, you're going to be doing a lot of ads. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be doing that. You don't just create like an ad set. We've done ads. We've burned a lot of money through ads and yep. made a lot of money through yep. ads. And we don't do ads anymore because organic is so powerful and we mm-hmm. don't want to have to be doing work all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't want to film ads while our kids are with
yep.
a nanny
yep.
and organic content. Like, we don't want to do that. So anyways, but yeah, if you're doing ads, like, you're going to have to create a lot of ads all the time. You'll have mm-hmm. to be on doing mm-hmm. new ad sets when they fatigue and when all this stuff, mm-hmm. you know, happens. And so if you want to work behind the scenes, then you're not going to have a social media business.
Yep. Yep.
And so those are the three options. You'll have to choose a different business model. And so with our business model, it might sound like it's horrid, right? For some people that are more introverted like us, I literally get clammy like hands when I have to talk in front of people. So awkward. Like, you're not as bad as me, honestly. I'm like such an awkward freak. But you're still an introvert.
I'm not weird, but we've had lots of talks about this. I like to recharge by myself in a quiet space, which means I'm an introvert.
I am too.
That means, you know, yeah. I don't want to be out at a party.
Yeah, but you might say that you are that way and you're not as good speaker as we are. Stupid. I didn't even say the sentence right. But seriously, you might say all the negative things about yourself, yeah, that you're not equipped for social media or whatever. But it, like I said, is the best blessing that you could be living right now in these times.
It absolutely is. Yeah.
Working a couple hours a week to make like the money that
you can make. What's just so funny is that people in our comments will just be like, you're so narcissistic, or you like, you just love to hear yourself talk, or
who says that? I'm not reading the comments.
People honestly say that kind of stuff about us, especially like when we are posting more prevalently, you know, like all the time on YouTube, or if we were more like the influencer lifestyle.
I never got that.
People say stuff like this too. Uh-huh. They're just like, you know, you also see them on other people's comments on like posts that go viral. People talking down on
influencers.
Having influence. Yes. You know, you're a sellout, blah, 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 whatever. Yeah,
so many.
It's like, bro, if you had the chance and you could flip a switch and you could work whatever hours you want, whenever you wanted, filming the stuff that you like to do, you'd probably do it too.
Oh yeah.
Like, let's not our kid ourselves. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, now
onto the next step here.
But as far as that, like, yes.
So what Peter I'm has to choose what type of business style
how you
want to
get
wants.
Your leads.
Okay.
Okay. Yes. Leads. So with Amazon FBA, how do you get your leads, Doug?
I mean,
if you're listing something on Amazon, like a baby car seat cover, which is what we sold.
We had to run ads. We ran Amazon ads.
Okay.
And then we also had to give away a lot of product for free, and we had to rank it. So it was a bunch of search engine optimization.
So a lot of computer work.
Yeah, it's a lot of computer work.
And a lot of money invested, like 15 grand for us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which honestly is not that much.
A lot of talking to people overseas and getting boxes shipped and having insurance set and having inspections
and
done.
And then being taken over by the Chinese.
And then
literally.
I mean, this is Chinese, not a political podcast.
Chinese supplier.
Here. Yes. let's tone it back here, Haley. Oh, it's coming out right now.
Anyways, I was being serious, actually. I just forgot the supplier part. But anyways.
That is literally what happened, though. We got overran and pushed out by our manufacturer. And we got cut.
They copied
price.
Our product.
They cut us out.
That's why we don't do that anymore. Well, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just, there's better ways
to. It's just what happened to us.
More like less stressful ways, mm-hmm. you know, to like have your whole family's livelihood. Anyways, okay, so how you get your leads. So you'd be doing a lot of computer work, right? Yes. It's not about like how, like the business model. It's like, how do you market? Mm-hmm. That's where, as a CEO, that's where you're going to spend all your time.
Yeah.
We personally like social media, obviously. Mm-hmm. We've been doing it for a decade. It's amazing, like for so many reasons, and I won't even list them. But remember, keep that in mind, okay? So the next thing that I would talk about is what are your strengths?
Yes.
Or what would you even, you might say, I suck at all these things. We did too. Okay. Mm-hmm. Straight. Mm-hmm. Don't even look at my old videos. It's like terrible.
Sister tag.
Sister tag videos. Yeah.
Tag videos. That's okay. How long we've been back there.
But yeah, like, you know, what are your strengths? So what would you be interested in getting better at if you currently suck? Because if you're not doing it, then you're not good.
For instance, right? If you do not have a strength in dancing or lip syncing, you should probably not do dancing and lip syncing things that are there.
Nobody,
you know,
does like those anymore. Instagram. You're like a year old.
Dude, that was just so back in the day. Old. Do you guys remember that though? Like that was such
honestly,
a thing.
It was like during COVID. Dude, they're like pointing
wild.
On the
yeah. yeah. There's like that lady and the thing.
Oh, dancing on TikTok. Yeah. I don't know if I don't think I do that anymore.
I don't think people don't dance on there anymore. But anyways, that's kind of what we get at, right?
Social selling. You know, if you're wanting to do something like me, you know? More me, like being on camera selling. I mean, Doug does it on long form, but I did that for years. Creating content, or, you know, are you good at sales?
That's me.
You might be, yeah, you might be really good at sales. Doug sold people like large packages at his old company, so he's better equipped for sales calls. And so, yeah, that's the first thing that you have to really understand is like, if you're looking to sell digital products online, you have to be okay with the way that you get leads. Mm-hmm. And generally, it's through social media content.
Yeah, but you need to lean into your strength in conjunction with however it is that you're going to be getting leads, right? So we need to not fool ourselves here and say that if you are not a social media type person, you may want to look into another way to be able to get your leads. Right. So Haley is furiously writing notes over here for her next point that she has that's coming up. Go on, yes. Haley. What do you have?
Okay. So I would say the next step is to choose, you can choose a general niche that you're interested in. So we had a whole podcast. You can search it on our YouTube channel, but it's like passion versus profit.
I was going to say, are we going to go really deep into
Because you can watch that whole thing for like an hour.
You can watch that. But yeah, basically we'll touch on the strength too. Because strengths are not just hard skills, by the way. Strengths are not just things like public speaking, being on social media, posting and stuff like that. Strength is also like, what are the soft skills that you have, but also like, what are your passions and interests that you have in terms of your strength? You know, I have a strength for tech. That's what I like to do. It's more of like a soft skill that's there. Haley, you know, has more of a strength for social selling and doing lots of other things. Making sourdough bread. Just kidding.
I would never. I'm not good at all.
So let's move on. So now that you've picked your niche, let's pretend that Peter has magically picked a niche.
Yeah, I would
say. He went back, watched our other podcast.
Yes. I would say that just real quick, like as far as what you should do, because everyone is so multifaceted. I would say that now I'm very good at business. Like
we can't skip this too much.
I know. Okay. It's hard.
Just a little bit.
Anyways, but like now I'm not good at pretty much anything. Like honestly, like homeschooling, I don't know what the heck I'm doing. You know, sourdough bread, it always turns out flat. Like a lot of the times, sometimes it's good. Yeah. That's it. Like, you know, and then there's business, then which I am good at.
Yes.
So not everyone is good at that, but that's because I've started like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know,
that just took practice. You know, that was a lot of practice.
But if I didn't have the business aspect and if I was just a regular mom, which I was, and I did choose a niche when I didn't know what the heck to do. I wasn't trying to make 7 figures in a year, which is a different strategy. But if I was trying to make a lot of money and I didn't want to just post for funsies because I had all these kids and I had to all these responsibilities, is I would try to choose something that I wanted to get better at, that I had a general interest in and that I knew something about, you know? So it might be getting out of debt, which we did do. And I wasn't I wasn't like a Dave Ramsey, you know, him.
Yeah.
But you don't have to be Dave Ramsey to teach people just the next step. So from A to B. So a lot of people think I'm not qualified because I don't know everything. There's 100 more people selling this already. That is such a farce. It's such a cop out. Don't be that person.
Yep. Yeah.
If someone else is selling it, good. That means it's a proven market.
Absolutely.
There are so many people that look at social media and there's actually not that many influencers.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there are a lot of people that you probably follow 1,000 people right now, but again, the world is huge. You just need a couple people to buy your thing to make like 10K a month.
Yeah. I mean, I remember back in the day, about to throw one of my buddies under the bus, but we were talking about it a long time ago on YouTube. And we were like, dude, you're into finance. You're into like credit card points and doing those things. Why don't you do that? And he's like, well, there's already like two other Asian finance channels on the internet. And I'm like, there's only two.
Yeah, yeah.
There's only two or three that are out there. This is a long time ago. But
seriously, do you need the whole pie? That's what I tell people. Like, do you need like $100 million a month? No, you probably just need like $10,000.
Yeah, you need a slice of the pie.
Yeah.
And so be one of those four people. Be one of those six people.
Be one of those 100. Be one of those
20 people. Yeah. You know, it's not that bad. And plus, you're going to be different from them just based on the fact that you are a different person.
And guess what? It doesn't matter. Any of the negative limiting beliefs are trash. It's the resistance. It's the enemy in your mind. It is.
We're going there.
Because go and look at, not to buy anything from us, just mm-hmm. look at the testimonials. You can call them something else. Okay. Look at the videos that we do interviewing people, regular people mm-hmm. who've never been on social. Mm-hmm. That we've helped, or other people, I don't care, our competitors, I don't even care, but watch them to prove to yourself that you're not that special in the fact that
you're not the exception.
You're not the exception. Like, you don't, anyways, I could go on about that, but if other people are doing it in your exact situation, honestly, with probably more kids than you, because we've got some people mm-hmm. with like 10 kids still making it mm-hmm. from no experience, quote unquote, then you can do it too. Yeah. So the next thing you want to do is choose a product that is high in demand. Okay. So this is rare, but sometimes people will teach other people how to do something they just don't want to learn. There has to be a demand for what you're teaching, mm-hmm. even if it is like just the next step. You don't have to teach how to fully get like, you know, into investments, but maybe you're teaching people just how to pay off a grand. Know, like start with one. So Doug, why would you start teaching a course about something if you haven't done the full yard, whatever?
The full whatever. I mean, There's a myriad of reasons here.
Why would you start selling something right now if you're not that good?
Okay, so there's two things. Well, actually, there's a lot of things. Okay, one is that if you know how to do one thing, like the first step, you probably know more than somebody that doesn't even know how to do that first step.
Totally.
So you're automatically an expert, right? If you know how to pay off $1,000, but another person has never paid off a cent in their life, then you immediately are an expert in getting just that first step that's there. The second thing is that if you go out there and you start selling something that is even just the beginning piece of it, one, you can get some investment going, get some cash flow into what you're doing. But then two, you can start expanding your knowledge on whatever it is that you're going into.
You're motivated now.
Now you're motivated to learn more. You're motivated to be more involved with whatever it is that you're doing. And
you take people along your journey.
Yep. Yeah. And you can take people along. It becomes a very good story that you go through.
Can you give examples maybe of like real people?
Of real people that we've gone through?
That are just teaching from maybe like A to B or A to C.
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of people that teach just like A to B.
Maybe like Steffi.
So Steffi's a good one. She teaches you how to go vegan. Steffi from, it's like Get Lean with Greens. It's to go vegan to be able to just lose weight. It's not to get shredded. It's not to get ripped. It's literally just to be able to lose weight. And
as a regular mom,
you couldn't pay me to go vegan, but you know what I'm saying?
Kill me.
That's just me.
Anyways, that sounds interesting.
Or we also have other people like, you know, we have like our farm students. We'll put them down the link below. I'm always going to butcher the like exact names, but it's like Porter's View Farm.
Yeah.
I think. And then I don't know how to spell
they're pretty expert level, honestly.
They are expert level, but their courses and offerings are like how to start a garden.
Yeah.
Right. So like they're even expert level and they could technically teach A to Z, but even they know just teaching A to B has its benefits.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind when you're going through and kind of picking out what it is you're doing.
But as like
Peter.
Yeah. As from our own experience though, from my massive failures of leaving millions of dollars on the table because I just didn't know how to make money online for so many years. And I was just posting just to like post to gain an audience because one day an email would magically pop into my inbox and it would all work out. Mm-hmm. All that I needed was a large following. False. Wrong. Because we take calls with people and we get inquiries from influencers of large status every mm-hmm. single day. Probably right now there's a bunch in the inbox. It's like, Haley, how can I make more money? I make a grand a month. And I look, I'm like, what are you doing? 500,000 mm-hmm. TikTok followers. I know you might be like, well, that's just TikTok. No, there have been people that do so many things. Okay. So many instances where they'll have a massive audience and they just cannot make a buck. I'm like, what are you doing?
And they don't want to
monetize. For so many reasons, they don't know what they're doing. Like they just post for years and they cannot. Like a large audience does not mean that you are an entrepreneur and that you're savvy, you know, and that you can think about scaling.
I actually think we have a podcast topic on this too, which is followers does not equal like success and a large income.
Yeah.
you know, it's pretty wild.
And so my point to that is you need to start making money because don't do what I did and just post for a long time, like years, waiting for something to happen, because the money's just a pot of gold, if you want it, is sitting right on your lap. You just don't know how to sell and you're scared of selling. And that's a whole other topic.
Yeah.
But if you want to make massive strides in your life and in your finances, you have to know that I am a salesman and that is what I do.
And you should start selling right away.
And you should say it every day, like a weird affirmation to yourself in the mirror. I'm a good salesman.
Yeah.
That's what my dad always taught me, is that the people that sell make the most amount of money. Doctors are salesmen. Mm-hmm. You know, what else? Lawyers are salesmen. Like the people that you admire a lot of times are salesmen.
Yeah.
Because they have to sell. And so you have to be okay. Influencers are like so worried about that, but okay, you cannot make money.
Yeah.
You know,
go ahead. So, no, definitely. So like, I guess to kind of wrap that point up, that's there.
Doug's here to do that.
That's what I'm here for. Right. But you definitely should start selling something as quickly as possible and don't go down the route. And this is always an excuse, and I don't want to go too far with this, but an excuse people always have is like, well, should I wait till I have more experience, or should I wait till I have a following? What following number should I start selling at? Or should I wait till I have
zero,
my certification in, you know, all natural holistic, like foot massages or something, to be able to do that in or something, you know, like I'm trying to get my 18-year degree to be a dietitian.
No one cares.
Should I wait till the end of that? No, nobody cares, because like the proof is in the social proof.
And honestly, the way that you sell in 2024 and last year and the year before and the year before and the year before is storytelling. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a whole other thing I won't go down, but you just have to know that we have to break your beliefs, because you're not going to even listen to our strategy. So that's what this podcast is about, I guess. But you don't sell through credentials. Nobody cares about your experience unless there's a captivating story.
Yeah.
I would rather learn how to lose my postpartum stomach weight from having my fourth child through a fit mom in her garage than some bodybuilder woman with no kids that has all these certifications. Yep. Like, I don't want to hear from you, because you're not in my situation. I want to hear from the mom literally next door, you know? So anyways, that's why, you know, being an influencer is so magnetizing, because you feel like you could be that person, you know? Yeah,
honestly, 100%. And just to be real, like, there are people out there that do similar stuff that we do, that probably have like all these certifications or degrees or special trainings and things that they do.
They're always the people that don't want to make the money.
Right.
They spend time not selling.
Yes. And so they're also not trying to target people that have similar values and similar beliefs that they do, right? And similar desires. A vast majority of the people that come to work with us are family people. They're people that want to spend more time with their family. They want that integrated life. Go check out the other podcast. But they're those people that want to live that same life, which is why storytelling is so important.
Yeah.
Okay. How much have we yelled at Peter now? We got anything else? What else are we yelling at Peter here about?
All right. So we're going to be talking about, what do you do after you have an idea? So let's say Peter wants to do urban gardening, which we've had a student, that do gardening and urban gardening. Mm-hmm. So random, like gardening in New York City, like on your balcony. I don't know. Yeah. And teaching a course on how to do that. So what does he do if he has no following and he wants to make a million? Okay. Back up.
Way back. I already know this is going. I already see it.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do. 100%.
Okay, go ahead.
You got to pick a product that's going to let you, that you make, sell at a price $1 million. Okay. To make $1 million.
Peter can make $1 million with urban gardening.
We've done this for a while together.
Yeah. He better be a beast at social media and getting leads.
Two things that need to happen. Oh man, Peter's getting yelled at for a long time here. Okay. One of two things need to happen. One, Peter needs to be a social media beast. You can do it with social. You can be strategic. You can do searchable topics. Mm-hmm. Okay. You don't have to be some overly crazy person, but you do have to be relentless and you do have to be willing to do the work. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's one. One thing is you have to.
It's a low ticket product.
Yes. I always tell people this. You got to balance it out, right? If you want to meet in the middle at your seven figures, you got to balance your product and, you know, your price point and then the amount of people that see it. Mm-hmm. So if you pick a topic like gardening that sells below $500, it's going to be down here. You need to sell a lot of people, right? Mm-hmm. But if instead, and this is a real thing, I taught people, because I'm into this, I taught people how to start a microgreens farm. Mm-hmm. And I teach people how to do this because it's a viable business. I can now no longer just charge $500. I could charge $5,000.
Yes. Because there's a net profit return that's on there. Like
maybe Peter doesn't have that knowledge, but can you dig in and find something that is more of like a business to business type of topic, yes, that you can sell to be able to meet that.
Yes.
So if your strength is not in social media, could your strength be in some type of other skill that you have that, yes, you can sell people on?
But honestly, at the end of the day, you have to like it. You 100%. Have to like it, because how you, like I said in the beginning an hour ago at this point, how you get your leads is how you live your life.
Yeah.
And it's how you create content, which is 80% of your time as the CEO of this, mm-hmm, digital product based organic business.
Yes.
Without ads, because we don't, that's a whole other topic. And so if you do not like teaching whatever, how to start a microgreenery, mm-hmm, is that like weed?
Well, no, it's like chives and stuff, like little things that are there.
So they're all around SoCal.
We're about to have to cut that one out of the podcast. No, demonetize real quick.
Where we live. Okay. Yeah. So they're called something. Okay. Anyways, if he doesn't know how to do that, mm-hmm, then yeah, I would think about that.
Yeah, no, work your tail.
You're going to just have to know that you're going to get really good at reels. You're going to get really good at YouTube videos. You're going to get really good at podcasting or do them all the time.
Yep.
And so maybe you don't have to go crazy forever with the social media content. That sounds like bleh, you want to barf, mm-hmm, but if that is amazing that you can do that from your phone,
yeah,
you know? So I would consider that. But anyways, as far as like Peter, let's reel back. If you guys have something like an idea and you're like, you want to make a lot of money really fast, mm-hmm, and you're kind of like, aunt, whatever, I don't care. Like what I really talk about, because, mm-hmm, I'm in it for the money, which, mm-hmm, is most people, honestly, I would choose something that is a little bit more higher ticket.
For sure.
Because then you don't have to juggle, you know, doing like sponsorships to make your seven, mm-hmm, figures, mm-hmm, since we're just going with that number for this podcast. Mm-hmm. You don't have to juggle AdSense, because who even cares? You don't even control the algorithm. And dude, it's like so stressful. I've already done that life. Do you have anything else to talk about that as far as like the product price that you're choosing?
No, you just have to be realistic with yourself, and you have to like just do basic division, right? How many products do I need to sell at what price point to make $1 million?
Yeah.
Right? If I could sell $1 million product once, then that's what I would do. Mm-hmm. Or if I have to sell a $1 product million times, then that's what I'll have to do. And then that trickles down into your strategy and everything else, yes, that you have.
And so you might have to like fill the gaps in with other income streams, which, mm-hmm, are just, you know, the things that you do, affiliate marketing and like, I just said,
yep,
them all,
yep, yep,
AdSense and brand deals. Yeah. So, but again, just real quick to stamp it in, the seal of my approval is like, you have to like it.
Yeah.
You have to like it. You're going to quit,
yep,
and you're going to switch niches. I've done this like too many times to tell you. So, okay. After you do that, you have real two paths. Do you want to talk about high ticket and low ticket just briefly?
Okay.
To talk about, because if they're in between, okay, maybe I could teach people how to get out of debt, but I also really like, you know, homeschooling. It depends.
It depends on, again, who you are.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you a person that likes to talk in masses to people and sell products via social media, as many as you can, right? Or are you a person that likes to be involved, heavily involved in a sales process? So there's two types of things that are here. There's low ticket, which to us is underneath like the
$1,000 to $1,500
range. It's basically sold by itself via a sales
or $3,000.
Okay. Anything low ticket, now that when I clarify to people, it's sold without your involvement. Okay. You are not actively asking somebody to buy something like over a phone or something. So it's done via a sales page, it's done via a link or something that you have. Maybe it's a link in your bio. Low ticket. Mm-hmm. The other strategy is high ticket, which is you're selling for 5, 10, 15x, whatever low ticket might be, but you are heavily involved in the sales process. You're getting on Zoom calls with people, you're DMing people.
You're building a sales team, and then you're outsourcing all of that.
Yes, you're outsourcing all those things, but there's a sales process that happens because the amount of money that's being exchanged is so grand that there needs to be additional validation on the buyer's end, right? There needs to be an additional proof and belief that I'm talking to a real person before I wire them $15,000.
Yeah.
And so your niche and your topic have to align with whatever that strategy is, right? Mm-hmm. So like, I'm not going to do a high ticket product of like $15,000 to teach people how to build a robot model kit.
Yeah.
Right. Because that's not a thing that's there. You, mm-hmm. you have to find a price point and a selling strategy that aligns with whatever your topic and your mm-hmm. passion is. It all comes together at the end, Peter. Okay. It's supposed to all come together and mesh together.
Yeah. There. And so I think after choosing like the product that aligns with how much money you want to make mm-hmm. and also aligns with what you want to be known for, mm-hmm. like if you could be known for one thing, what would that be? Regardless of how much it costs. I used mm-hmm. to think it's all about money, you know, because it's all I ever mm-hmm. wanted was what most people want. They just don't want to admit it. You know, it's mm-hmm. like to not have to worry about bills and stuff yeah. to help people. But now I'm like, yeah, you're just going to quit that, you know, because yeah. your life's too comfy and you yeah. swipe all day. And so now that you have chosen something, I would still encourage people if they're starting from zero to do one-to-one coaching for whatever it is mm-hmm. to get their first 10-ish testimonials. Mm-hmm. Testimonials are not quotes with a random picture of Susan. It is a video testimonial, like even if it's filmed on, you know, a phone, but like a Zoom testimonial, mm-hmm. those convert better than anything. And it's totally worth the effort. You might be like, I don't want to do one-to-ones. It doesn't matter because yeah. if you're going to eventually do low ticket, which is through like a webinar or something that's more semi-passive. Mm-hmm. I say semi because you have to like obviously create content to get leads in. Mm-hmm. You need to convert those people, especially if you're not talking to them face-to-face and explaining like Doug just did, like mm-hmm. what is happening in your business and why they should buy with you. You need a lot of proof and it's not hard. You just have to help people one-to-one for a while.
Yeah. Coaching is also going to evoke a lot of trust within people, yeah. right?
And they'll want to, yeah, they'll yeah. want to give you
a testimonial. They'll want to give you, they'll want to give you their money because they know that you'll be there with them step by step. Even if what you want to do eventually may not involve coaching in any way, coaching is just a great way to be able to get started for Peter, right? Peter needs to learn how to be able to do this whole process. He needs to know what the offer is going to look like. He needs to know what the process is going to look like. He needs to get feedback from people. Mm-hmm. He's going to do coaching to get that direct feedback and build the program up.
Yes.
Okay. I don't know how far we're going to go through this.
Just a little bit farther.
Okay. Because if there's not going to be a part two.
Yeah, no.
There's a lot of stuff that's happening here.
Because yeah.
then you got to pre-sell. And yes. then there's a lot of other stuff.
That okay. happens. So let's pretend so that Peter is starting from zero. I want to like end it on like a solid note.
Okay.
Because there is a million hours we could talk about it. Yes. But let's say Peter, this is going to be for the one of you that actually listens to us the whole way. That's okay. So let's say Peter is starting from zero social followers, mm-hmm. not even his grandma. Mm-hmm. The first thing that I would have Peter do is create the first module of his program. So the way that I would do this, if I was trying through all of our failures, is I would do, and let's pretend that I wasn't, you know, because you might say, well, Haley, you teach on business, easy to charge a lot, you know, but let's say I was doing homeschooling. Okay. I would still do one-to-one mentorship, you know, mm-hmm. how to get started in homeschooling. Mm-hmm. And I would charge whatever I could get someone for. Like a savage.
Yep.
And I would do Zoom calls, sales calls. I'd be like, but casual conversation. You might suck. You know, I've never done a sales call. Actually, I think I did one with Doug and I was like, I'll never take one with you again because it's not what's supposed to happen.
I was trying to sell.
I know. And I was trying to gab.
I know.
Get out. Yeah. So anyways, but I would, if I was alone, didn't have Doug, a lot of you mm-hmm. guys may be like, well, you have Doug. If I was alone, I'd still do it myself because yep. I have the tolerance.
Yeah, the pain tolerance.
Yeah,
you're willing to do it. The mental fortitude.
All those things.
It's all coming full circle.
I have that. and so I would do what I would tell him is I would say, no matter the product, I would do one-to-one coaching mm-hmm. for the first 10 people mm-hmm. to get the testimonial. I would either do it in exchange for a testimonial. Probably not, though. I would try to make money because, like, hello.
Shoot
your shot. You got to start learning. And I would... Yeah, I would start to do that. But the first thing I would do real quick is I would create the first module of my program. So I wouldn't mm-hmm. just coach for rant. I wouldn't just get on random calls with people.
No, there needs to be a
process. They would go through a program of modules. And so I would...
You need to step back again. You need to have a process in place. When you coach, your coaching should go through... We're just spilling all the secrets today for the person who's here.
Matter.
You know, all the way in here. I know. But when you create your program should... follow a series of steps because then it's a repeatable process and you can outsource
it. And you can scale it one day.
You can scale it one day.
Or take yourself out.
Yes. Yeah. So you're not just randomly coaching them on what do you need to work
on today?
This
happens a lot, actually. Yeah. We'll have people that enroll and they're like, well, we do coaching. And I'm like, what?
It's like, yeah, no. They do like consultation mentorship.
But that's not scalable.
No, it's not because then you are involved in every single step. Mm-hmm. You want to create a repeatable system, DIY system that they can then take out or you can relate
to. The other reason why I just feel like it's more ethical to do it this way is because when you're creating a course alongside people, mm-hmm. they literally will tell you what they need. Yes, and you actually get more testimonials. The more testimonials you have, the easier it is for you to sell.
Yes.
So you got to think long term, like, I'm going to be very successful and I need a lot of testimonials.
Yes.
A lot of people will just be like, okay, what course am I going to create on cleaning, how to clean your house fast? And I'm like, no, no. It's like you create it with people so that you get so many testimonials and so that your program sells itself.
Yeah.
You got to think really long term. And that's how you, I feel like, and I didn't always think like this. You think like an entrepreneur. So let's really quickly talk about the daily process, because I think that that is something that people get really scattered on. They start to just post reels and that's all they're ever doing. And they're not focusing on selling. And what does that look like? So for our scenario, doing more high ticket sales, just for the first 10 people before you go evergreen, if you don't have an audience, if you do, that's a different strategy. And I would just go evergreen if you want to do that, which is basically low ticket. No sales call. But if you're starting where Peter is, you got to go through the grind, and it's totally worth the quote unquote uphill battle, which is really just talking to people face to face. Like, it's not, it's not that scary, you know? So what I would be doing is I'd be posting on social media wherever you feel like you like the most, whatever comes most naturally to you. Wouldn't be podcasting unless you have access to guests with larger audiences, just to rip that, you know, cross that off your list. It sounds great in theory, but if you're not going to go viral in another place, it's going to be a very steep uphill climb to get, if it's ever a climb, you're going to be not growing and it's not going to do well. So you have to have an audience somewhere else to convert them. Although a podcast is helpful for converting. And so I would pick a platform, right? You want to talk about that?
Yeah. So basically, you need to be able to pick something that is going to, one, be searchable for whatever kind of topic that you're in and then within your niche. But then two, you need to be able to pick something that has some type of like an algorithm that allows you to be able to go viral and find more people.
We'd recommend YouTube like 100% because it's way less time consuming. And my videos still get us leads from
years later,
5 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's just like a crazy snowball. Like
a second close to that, I would say is Instagram, because Instagram is Instagram's algorithm has been pushing like old reels and stuff recently. It's been a lot different, but it's also has the ability to direct message people.
Yes.
And so directly talking to people is like a serious, plus. So a lot of times, Peter, I may recommend that you try both if you have the time.
And then other than that, it is trying to sell through posting consistently and setting people down a funnel, which we have a whole podcast on a funnel. So Doug will kill me if I go down that path, but you have to have a funnel or else it's just not going to convert.
There needs to be a sales process that's involved. So we do have a podcast on that. We even have like a whole YouTube video on our product ladder that's there as well that people can
we'll link down other resources, but this this podcast is one of our longest, so I think we're gonna end it there. But that is what I would do basically if I wanted to make a lot of money in a short time span. And if you guys have any questions, if you want us to expand on any of those, like, let us know.
You can comment down below. You know, you can DM us American Dream Revival on Instagram. Leave us a review on Apple Podcasts if you're there, and we will see you guys in the next one.
Bye guys.